Ah, the French champagne.
This is my music box. Can you hear the music? It plays for you. The music is calling for you to make a choice. My building has 9 floors, and each leads to a very different place. My lift can go places you'd never expect, and it's waiting for you. Come along and take a ride on the lift. Find the lift at victoriaslift.com and also in iTunes at itunes.victoriaslift.com.
Hey everyone, if you didn't know it already, there is actually another place where you can find this show and several other awesome shows. That's over at society-13.com. Society 13 is a podcast network, includes podcasts that are story podcasts like The Lift and The Wicked Library. You have talk show podcasts like Dangling After Dark with Dick Dangle, paranormal podcasts like History Goes Bump. If we don't have exactly 13 podcasts on that network, there's damn close to it. So I'm not going to list all the shows. Go over to society-13.com, find a new favorite. Keep listening to The Ninth Story, of course. And please check out The Wicked Library and check out The Lift. If you're a fan of this show, you have to check out The Lift because Victoria's on it. It's her show, man. We've also added a blog roll over at society-13.com. So if you don't feel like listening to one of us drone on or tell you a story, you can also just read a fantastic blog post or a story. So head on over and check it out. I know you'll find something you love over there.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com. Or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
So,
I don't know why I went southern.
What do you have?
Yeah, you're in Connecticut, aren't you?
Yeah, but I actually learned how to speak in Georgia.
Oh.
So when I revert to a southern accent for no reason whatsoever, that's Georgia. Why.
So I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Were you born in Georgia and you moved to Connecticut, or are you Connecticut?
I was born in California.
Okay.
And then I moved to Scotland.
Nice.
And then I moved to Georgia. And then I moved to Italy. And then I moved to various places in Connecticut, and I'm still here.
Okay. Wow. Real quick question. Of the places where you have lived, worst drivers, where are they?
Worst drivers?
Yeah.
Naples.
Really?
Italy. Oh my gosh, they're horrible. They see people and they drive over them.
Wow. It's like Grand Theft Auto.
It doesn't matter if you're going up a one-way, U-turn. They're wherever they want to be. It was so dangerous.
Wow.
Walking around that city.
Now, the reason
it was absolutely terrible.
Armageddon.
The reason I asked that is because I have always maintained that I've been all up and down the East Coast. Thank you, Dan. The worst, I've always claimed that the worst drivers in the universe come from Connecticut. because it's like you're on the guy, like 95, and you're getting into Connecticut, and driving safely is like the third or fourth most important thing on their mind while they're driving.
Accurate.
I mean, there wasn't even, there. The last time I was in Connecticut, they didn't even have cell phones yet. Okay. I was like driving with a beeper, and it was still like the worst shit in the universe. I'm an old man, Dan. You shut up. Respect your elders.
I used to have a beeper. That's funny. That's tremendous, actually.
My girlfriend used to do the whole, at the time, I was like, I'd get 143. And a month later, I'm like, why do you keep sending me 143? She's like, it means I love you. I'm like, okay.
How does that work out to I love you?
It's a Jersey girl thing, man.
Tremendous.
I'm just trying to make you feel better. I don't want to explain it.
I feel fantastic all the time because I'm doing the Wicked Library.
Yeah, no, drivers in Connecticut are genuinely not necessarily very good.
Yeah, I just...
It's, as soon as it snows or it rains or, oh my goodness, there's wind, suddenly there's accidents everywhere. It's like everyone forgets how to drive.
Yeah, it's like, slap the grinder out of your mouth and fucking drive, please.
Grinders.
Sounds like something the stripper does.
The grinders are actually pretty badass, though. Yeah. I will readily admit that.
What the hell's a grinder?
Yeah, right.
It took me forever to figure out what that was.
Yeah, I like drove like three restaurants, and the guy working with me is like, I don't know what the hell that is. Is that? And it's like, well, we have to eat eventually, and we stopped, and I'm like, oh, they're hoagies and whatever submarine sandwiches.
They're submarine sandwiches, right? That's what I knew them as.
Exactly.
Hoagies.
So funny.
Like Hoagie, that was the shitty Michael Caine character in Jaws the Fourth.
Super Hoagie.
Yeah.
You come on down here to Pittsburgh, we'll get you a great Italian Hoagie. Maybe we'll give you a wedgie.
Oh, dear.
Oh, goodness.
That's an Italian thing.
Do you know what a wedgie is? Is that like a universal word, or is that Pittsburgh?
No, that is new to me.
Okay, so a wedgie is when they take a pizza crust and they fold it over in half, and inside that, they stuff it with delicious things like capicola, salami, pepperoni, cheese, and then...
It's like a geometric calzone.
Yes.
It sounds delicious.
It is delicious. And then what they do is, like, before they serve it to you, they open that up, and they stuff it with lettuce and tomato and onion. They put a little bit of Italians. You can put some Italian dressing on that. It's fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, it's why I weigh 300 pounds.
Well, I would too if that was available around.
My doctor said I'm not allowed to weigh 300 pounds. No more wedgies for you.
Oh, normally that's a good thing.
Yes.
The only thing I knew a wedgie was the atomic kind.
Exactly. Exactly. No one wants that.
Sit down, Waldo.
Once upon a time. Come along as we examine the many things that combine to create the magic that is story. Next up, the ninth story.
So, Nelson, tell us a little bit about what you're writing these days. You have a Demons, Dolls, and Milkshakes sequel.
I do.
And you also have, what is it called? Something, a flower.
It is called Spiders in the Daffodils.
That's it. I knew there were flowers involved.
And it is, that is cool. There's actually three books all going on at once. One is very much an expanded version. The last story in Everything Here is a Nightmare is called, it's the Moon story. It's a very, very, very sad little story that I closed it out. And it's kind of a larger version of that. It's not like verbatim. The little story is not going to be in the full book version. It's going to go in a different direction, but it kind of inspired the new book idea. The sequel to Demons, Dolls, and Milkshakes. Hello.
Hey.
Who's hungry in this studio?
You know what? That's a great title, actually. The first one was Demons, Dolls, and Milkshakes.
Well, the difficult bit for this is going to be I'm trying to write it in such a way where it is a direct sequel, but I want it to be able to stand alone. Like, if you had never read Demons, Dolls, and Milkshakes, you can still enjoy the
Shame on you if you haven't.
Well, true story. True enough. But
reading.
And it's gonna focus a lot more on the characters of Cat and Bruce. And I'm like, I think a third of the way done with it. And it is so cool to write.
Did you bring a clip with you tonight?
No. it is so cool to write those two characters in particular. Even more than Stitch was.
Do you have a clip that you'd like to share?
No,
because I could put it in the show notes, just like a paragraph or something.
I'll send.
We'll think
off.
About it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there, Mr. Foytek. I will take a segment. I will look through it. Well, we'll have Jeanette pick, because I can do send a segment of that, and I can record it, and you can upload that guy.
Awesome.
Or a segment of Spiders and the Daffodils, which is a larger story based on former Texas Ranger Tom Wall and his female companion Veronique.
Yes.
I have to choose.
Maybe. We'll see.
Heartbroken.
Well, the difference being is that
I want it all.
I do.
Isn't that like a Queen song or something?
It very much is.
Yes.
I want it all.
And I want it now.
I want it now. Yep.
Put your hands on the bar, the deputy said, visibly shaking. Now, there's no need for this, young man. It's quite a misunderstanding. The deputy did a double take. Misunderstanding my ass, the deputy said. Mister, I don't know what the hell you and your friends did to the sheriff, but he's damn near dead out there. Doc's on his way, so you and whoever else threw that man out the window, line up along that bar now. The bartender walked over to the far part of the bar. Clyde, he said. It was him. Ain't no one else but him. The deputy looked at the bartender. Then he looked back at Trask. Trask wasn't a tall man and had an average build, but he looked frightening if you looked at him too long. Short, blonde, nearly white hair, pale skin, and bright blue eyes. The deputy watched as this man smiled, and it sent a shiver through him. Ain't no way, Bill. Sheriff's damn near dead in the middle of the street. Trask moved forward, starting to smile a little broader. No, the barkeep is quite correct, deputy, Trask said. And believe it or not, I didn't mean any harm. I sure hope he recovers and really think you need to back off now, son. The deputy pulled the hammer back on the gun. Put your goddamn hands on the bar, son, the deputy said, gritting his teeth. You saw what I did to your sheriff, Trask said. And that was a pure accident. What do you think I'm going to do to you? The deputy, having Trask dead to rights, fired his gun. He blinked, and Trask was gone. Not dead, but physically gone from sight. The deputy looked around the saloon and saw open mouths staring in disbelief at him. You couldn't help yourself, deputy, Trask said, suddenly standing right next to him. He grabbed the gun and tore it out of the deputy's hand. I can understand that. Before he could react, Trask grabbed the side of the deputy's head with one hand and with the other drove the gun, barrel first, into his temple. The deputy didn't have time to even scream as he felt the barrel break through his skull. It made a sound like someone shoving a broomstick handle into a watermelon. The deputy shook uncontrollably, wavered, and then collapsed onto the floor. His eyes were wide open, and a thin line of drool fell into a growing pool that was also filling with blood. Trask looked up and regarded the saloon again, this time not smiling. You folks don't have any other lawmen lining up in this town, do you? Trask asked. No one said a word. Well, I reckon that says it all. He turned to walk out of the saloon, but turned back. Oh, I'm taking somebody's horse. Not stealing it. If you want it back, I'll leave it for you in Corpus Christi, he said. Wait about 3 weeks, though, and don't come looking for it too soon. He nodded and walked out of the saloon. The patrons, the poker players, the barkeep, even the whores in the upper rooms all held their breath and looked at the deputy, spilling blood all over the saloon floor. They'd all seen something that they would never be able to unsee. No one dared to breathe.
You may wind up being a beta reader for spiders.
I would love to,
Jeanette. So
absolutely love to.
And you know, because I put up like a dopey cover on my author page, which you're on my author page on the Facebook, mm-hmm. and it was the picture of a couple of daffodils and there's a spider on it. It was really just kind of to keep me focused. Yeah. And that was the story that I wrote for NaNoWriMo in November, which is National Novel Writing Month.
You're the first person I've ever heard pronounce it that way.
How is it normally pronounced?
NaNoWriMo.
What did I say, NaNoWriMo?
Yeah, but that's fine. It's cool. I like it, man. I just found it unique.
You got to pronounce shame me on your own fucking shows?
No, I thought it was cool. That's all. Man, I thought it was awesome.
But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I'd always planned on making, you know, I wanted to do a bunch of little
pronounce shame you,
pronounce shaming me.
My name is Nelson W. Pelius. Well, I've never heard anyone pronounce your name that way before.
I'm Danielle Fucktack.
That's right. Oh, I've heard that pronounced that way many, many times.
Usually, it was always like the really shitty pronunciation of your name is usually when you're walking away.
Well, the normal way that most people pronounce my name is, hey, go fuck yourself. I'm like, thank you. Have a nice day.
Or my sub name, hey, asshole. Sit down. I'm like, I am sitting down. It doesn't matter now.
Anyway, you were teasing her with beta reading.
No, I'm not. No, I'm definitely going to send it to her because, I mean, those stories, I never expected anyone to like those stories.
And they're amazing.
Well, thank you.
Why would you not think people would like those?
Well, the impetus on writing them was really weird because I was actually trying to attempt to write a straight Western. And suddenly and out of nowhere, like just enough rope comes out and, you know, it's like, okay, it's just going to be Western. It's just going to be Western. Oh, shit, there's a monster. And she's a girl. Oh, boy. Okay. So that's the one I'm currently just editing the crap out of it because it's done. And I've added the first two stories in there just for background, and I've expanded on those stories. I think you'll like it. I've reread it a couple of times, and it's got some soft parts in the skull, but it's fun. It's a lot more fun, a lot more gruesome than I thought it was going to be.
Awesome.
So I think you'll dig it. I think you're
gonna look forward to.
I think you're going to like the bad guy.
Well, the bad guys are usually my favorite anyway. So.
This bad guy, this is one of my favorite bad guys.
Awesome.
And I hope, I really hope people kind of gravitate towards Wall and Veronique because they really are just fun characters to write.
They're such fun characters. Like out of that whole book, literally those two characters, those two stories were the things that just, other than like, you know, the titular title, Everything Here is a Nightmare, like, those two stories were the ones that just, they still stick with me. I still find myself thinking about those characters and wanting to know what else happens in their lives. So I'm really glad that there's more happening in their lives.
Oh, that's, well, that's awesome. I love hearing that. That's cool. I mean, because, you know, I think about them too. It's like, what would they be doing right now? And, yeah, once I get it cleaned up, I'll shoot it over to you.
Yes, please.
And if you know what, and I'll open it up. Feel free to, if you are so inclined to, you know, imagine what a cover would look like. You know, have at it.
Oh, oh man,
have at it.
All right, that's awesome.
So bring it.
Insert happy dance here.
Now, what other stuff? Now, what are what where? Where is your artwork? What's the process for you? I mean, Dan sends you a very explicit idea of what he wants, but when you're not working for quote the man, you know, what is
the artists specifically request very specific instructions. They like that for some reason. It blew me away. I was like, don't you want creative freedom? They're like, no, we want to know like kind of what you're looking for. And that's the creative freedom is to work within those parameters and create something awesome. Jeanette always blows me. All the artists blow me away. It's like what I think is oftentimes they what they deliver is like 4 to 5 times better than what I could possibly come up with myself.
Right.
But anyway. I just didn't want the impression to be that I was like, you must draw a man in the center of the screen. His head must be 2 inches by 3 inches.
When I do commissions, I do get requests like that, and it's like, okay, I will do this for you. But I feel like a pencil might do better in your hand. Just saying.
That's right.
To answer your question, when I do my own artwork, I still tend to gravitate towards doing things for other things.
Okay.
Like every week I do the Horror Haikus Day stuff, and that is...
Which is awesome.
Thank you. But that's still collaboration. Like I've now people are submitting poems every week. So I pick like the top 2 and then I make 3 pieces of artwork. Cause I have a Patrick Rahal who I'm working on a book with him. That's what originally all of this was for. Horror Haikus Day is going to be a book by Patrick Rahal and myself.
That's awesome.
The smartest thing that you can do is to find more than one way to use your content. So that's fantastic.
Exactly. So eventually that'll be a nice collection. We're actually almost to the end of his initial collection of poems. So I'm almost caught up with illustrating them all. But yeah, I still like my favorite thing is still to take like a story and create artwork for it. Like even when I was writing the stuff for myself for NaNoWriMo, how did you say it? It was like
I pronounced it NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo Williams.
We're both gonna shame you now, apparently.
I still like if I write something, it feels unfinished until I have an image with it. I just how I think in my I guess like it doesn't feel like a complete thought unless there's some sort of a visual. So I tend to gravitate towards like if I write something I need to put a picture with it. If I create art without a story, actually they do tend to kind of go together. Even if I try to create artwork just for the sake of it, it always gets halfway finished and never sees the light of day.
Right.
Like I have paintings that have been started on multiple occasions. And I'm like, you know, and then I stop and then I go do something else. But if it has a story that it goes with, or it has someone else outside of myself that it connects to and it's for someone else, then suddenly it has a reason to be finished. And then I actually do it.
Now, do you think that's there's an old saying, that people tend to do their best work with a gun to their head. Do you think that's kind of sort of, the thing with that, like, if there's somebody else expecting results, not just you, because like, you know, I find sometimes that I have to put the gun in my own head. I mean, I work very much, so much better with like a deadline or like a hard deadline. You know, it's like, okay, you have until this time to get this finished. Go, and if the order's not coming from me, I'll get it done. In like half the time, like I always try to do the Fresh Pro Glow kind of thing. Like, okay, this isn't for me specifically. This is for someone else. Here we go. Is that the kind of, is it like, do you find it difficult to put that kind of pressure on yourself if there's not somebody?
It's like a thankfully the blog itself gives me that. Cause I feel like there are at least some people who read it on a daily basis. So it's for them that I finish things.
Cool.
So that has been me a way to give myself deadlines that feel important enough to actually complete things.
Awesome.
But yeah, I definitely am that kid who really likes having deadlines and having them be really unhelpful ones. You know, it's like,
yeah, right. Like the bomb like, is taking.
I actually just finished the commercial shoot I just worked on. It was like there was a lot to do in a manner of like 3 days. I had literally 3 days to come up with all of this furniture and make fake food props and like all of these things. And I was like, all right, well, I also need to do this along with writing a few articles and blah, 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 blah. Let's go.
Yeah, that's worked really well for me.
I always hate myself for it during, but then afterwards, I'm always really proud of myself, and then I do it again because I don't learn my lesson.
Well, I mean, but I mean, in that case, it's kind of like you don't want to learn a lesson because, you know, like as much of a pain in the ass as it is, it works.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I mean, I can say at least one of my artists, Steve Matico, he does so much better work if he's like under pressure. Like if I say you have 20 minutes to draw Victoria, go. The result is like, cause, and he's even said, he's like, well, you know, if I have too much time, I go back and I overwork it. It's mm-hmm. like I keep fiddling with it, messing with it, and changing it.
Well,
and
yeah, there's an argument, like you can just totally outthink yourself of something really good.
And
instantaneous. You.
Like George Lucas. I can tell you from my experience that having somebody to report to.
You. There you are.
Oh, did you lose us for a second?
I did, and I sang you a song, which since I'm recording on my side, you'll still get to hear.
Oh, I heard some of it.
Were you singing a Partridge Family tune?
Do what?
Were you singing a Partridge Family tune?
No, I don't actually remember what it was now. I'd have to re-listen. Oh. I blank out in moments in my life sometimes. Especially at the end of this week.
Well, after as many hours as you've been working, it's really helpful to have, at least for me, it's really helpful to have somebody that I don't want to disappoint because it makes me do better and it makes me more consistent. I'm not to say
you
that
have an accountability buddy.
Yes.
Accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability buddy. There's a term for it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, sure, I might end up being a day late on occasion because life gets in the way or other things get in the way, but it gets done, and I'm one, and I think Nelson knows this, I will never it's like, you know, it's the old, what is it, the Reuniti commercials? We release no wine before it's time.
Oh, that was Ernest and the Gallo brothers, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Ernest and Gallo. It was
Orson Welles used to
Orson
do those
Welles.
Awesome commercials.
We release no wine before it's time.
Do yourself a favor. Go on YouTube and find the drunken Orson Welles outtakes of those.
Oh yes, those are hilarious. But I mean, I've gone to that before. Like I've been late before because it's just like it's not perfect, you know, and I have to go back and fix things. So I release no podcast mm-hmm. before it's time.
Well, you see,
but we're pretty damn close. I mean, if I'm late, I'm late by like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, I was,
and half of that's because I'm late on the artwork lately.
Well, it's not usually you; it's one of the aforementioned
when do you
artists.
Need this? Oh, today? All right. Let me.
I forgot.
Do that.
But the, I mean, sorry. You know, you're the addition of different artists for the Wicked Library. That was a stroke of fucking genius.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
That was a good move that I will. You know, in the future, we'll take complete credit for when we start winning awards and shit.
It's because Maddie had so much shit going on in her life.
Oh man!
And it was, you know, I talked to Maddie because she was your artist for what, 3 seasons?
She was the main artist for like 3.5 seasons.
Yeah,
like she came on in the very beginning of season 2.
And I knew she had so much stuff going on with Book Trope and all the other stuff that she was doing. I'm just like, I have an idea. And I think it would be good for the show for a couple of reasons. And she was all for it. So that was awesome. It gave her a chance to step back and take care of other things. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity to bring a bunch of other folks into the loop and give them an opportunity to grow their audience. And,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that, you know, it was beneficial for them. I'm hoping that people found their work through it.
Well, I found Jeanette and she found me.
Aww.
And she's awesome. But I mean, I love her. I love her website. I love, you know, I don't just go there to look at my shit and then I, you know, click off the computer and go to bed. I read the other stuff that she does. And especially the horror haikus, because I here little known NWP fact, I co-run a haiku Facebook page and I have for the past couple of years called Haiku Wednesday.
Oh, that's awesome!
And you know, so I'm all about the haiku. So I may be submitting sooner than later. You know, I'm just really kind of.
Yeah, please.
I loves me some haiku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what? I'm totally lurking on Haiku Wednesday now.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there's like 60 people
I'm on
it.
There.
It's like,
now
like
61.
Yeah. It's like my friend, friend from when I was in my 20s and living in New Jersey. And we would like email haiku back and forth all day long. And, you know, and as is wont to happen, people move away, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
they stopped watching Fight Club.
And we reconnected. And now, like, Sluggo is fine. Her name is Chelsea, but I call her Sluggo. Hi, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And we just, like, randomly, like, started resending haiku back and forth, like, on bus rides to work and stuff, you know. And it's like, hey, let's start a haiku page. And it's just, like, a very low people count. And, you know, we're very horrible, horrible people. So we'll, you know, we've gone back to like sending haiku just back and forth whenever we can. But every once in a while, we'll throw some stuff on the Haiku Wednesday page. Now, if you go to the page, listeners, you only post haikus. Well, haiku is already plural, isn't it? You only post haiku on Wednesdays. Okay. Thus the fucking name of the Facebook page. So have at it.
And if you need to do it more than once a week, there is Haiku's Day.
That's right. You're damn right.
Oh, yeah. Sure. So, goddamn right. I'm only talking about Shaft.
If we can dig it. You know, so if you want to test Sluggo and her haiku skills, at Stunt Poet on the Twitter.
Tremendous.
And lurking over there now.
There you go.
102, take two.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson.
102, take three. Action, please.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So cut. Paul Masson's...
The critically acclaimed author of Demons, Dolls, and Milkshakes returns with 15 tales of horror and suspense, with Everything Here is a Nightmare. From zombies in the Old West, to a young boy tempted by the devil, from vampires with romantic longing, to an abandoned lighthouse haunted by vengeful spirits, from a serial killer getting unholy justice, to an haunted English race car. Nelson W. Piles invites you to explore the landscape of fear, suspense, and horror. Take his hand and hold on tight. Remember that whatever you find there, whatever you see, no matter what you might think it could be, know this. Everything here is a nightmare. By Nelson W. Piles. Available in paperback and Kindle at Amazon.com. By Burning Bowl Publishing.
Hi, this is Nelson W. Piles, creator and executive producer of The Wicked Library. I'm also a novelist, an occasional musician, and a dad. When I wake up in the morning, I don't take vitamins, I don't have a vigorous workout routine, I don't take one of those 5-hour energy shots. What I need first thing in the morning is just fucking coffee. No lattes, no frappuccino, no eggaccino, alpaccino, any of that. I want just fucking coffee.
Good morning, Mr. Piles. Can I get you a latte?
Hey, what'd I say? Just fucking coffee.
Jesus Christ.
Just fucking coffee. Go get some. Go get some now.
And don't put any fucking sugar in it.
So why don't we drop some links for you wonderful people?
I want to pull the... I forget. I think it was on John's show. And the time Maddie came in for when we went to Georgia last year. And Maddie had like the best, she wasn't trying to be arrogant or pretentious, but she dropped like the most fucking rock star link drop ever. She just said, "Nah, just Google me." And this is like right after, and this is like right after, after Dave like gave the link to everywhere except where his mom lives. It's like Fairly Dark Productions at Fairly Dark at Fairly. Are you going to Scarborough Fairly? And you know, like every drop that was associated with his name, and like Maddie just goes, just Google me, which is so fucking great. I laughed for 20. The best thing is like she wasn't trying to be like, you know, like mm-hmm. Tom Waits cool, but she fucking pulled it off. It was awesome.
Tom Waits, man, he keeps popping up. I gotta start listening to that.
You really, if you don't listen to Tom Waits?
I've heard a few of his songs.
Oh.
And but he keeps popping up on my radar. The universe is telling me, listen to Tom Waits.
Listen to Tom Waits.
There is never a bad time.
There is no devil. It's just God when he's drunk.
There is never a bad time to start listening to Tom Waits.
Well, I'm downloading his stuff tonight, man.
Well,
getting on there and I'm buying some shit.
All right. Do yourself a favor. Don't do singles. Just buy albums.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to our good friend, Dr. John Towers, interviewing my former co-host, Mr. Craig Weber, today. That's a marathon of a show, folks. Sit down, grab a burger, grab some beer. Make sure you're near the bathroom for bathroom breaks, because that one, it's a good show, but it's long. But yeah, it made me realize that there's a ton of music out there that I need to be listening to.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, Tom Waits.
Get you some Tom Waits. Listen to some Velvet Underground.
Yeah, but they were talking about the death of the album, you know, because of digital downloads now.
Right.
Like an album used to be a journey. It used to be a story, yeah. And I picked up on that young that. Like the Beatles, especially because I was a huge Beatles fan growing up, oddly, probably, but there was a story, like the album had a progression. There was a reason why those songs were in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really hit me for the first time, like fully listening to Garbage and listening to some of their albums. And it's just like, each song was in progression. It meant something. And there's kind of been, and they talked a little bit about that on that episode, about how there's kind of been the death of that because people just pick and choose the MP3s that they want to download. I personally always like to get the entire album and listen to it in the order that it was intended. Now, after I've listened to it three or four times through, I may do the shuffle thing with that artist and listen to it. But there's definitely something to the experience of listening to the full album. And I would assume with the gentleman that we're talking about, Tom Waits, the way that he writes, there's definitely a progression there.
Absolutely. I think even beyond Waits, I was a very, very big Lou Reed fan.
Ah, yes.
And get the New York album. It even tells the notes. I love that album because the liner notes tell you it's like this album should be listened continuously from the first song all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And it tells a story, and it's, man, it's like, you know, Hubert Selby Jr. come to life. And if he had any talent, it would be Lou Reed's New York album, which is fun. Amazing. What album puts wind in your sails, Jeanette?
Oh, there are lots. That's a hard...
What's the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, the first thing that pops into my head is Big Scary Monster Walks Home at Midnight, which is by the Deadites.
Bitchin'.
They're at a Worcester. And they also, a little plug for their show.
Can you do Massachusetts?
They also have a podcast called Trick or Treat Radio, which I am a fan of.
Yes.
I've heard of Trick or Treat Radio, yeah.
They're awesome.
Hell yeah.
I feel like
Can't get there from here.
There's too much action on the airwaves sometimes. And
you know, no. My ex-fiance was from Maine, so I know a little bit about those people out there. You know, they don't measure driving distance in miles. They measure it in time. But that's about an hour away. That's about an hour and a half drive.
See, my Massachusetts accent is just to sound like John Kennedy.
You know, you should take them out there on your boat because it's very hard for them to get away.
And,
that's what
fuck
those
you.
Islands are for.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
All right. So beyond the Deadites,
it's all like the names that are popping into my head are not probably names that folks know.
We're not
like,
looking
Trans
for
Dusk. Is another band that I have been obsessing over. And I got their album and I literally listened to it like on repeat for days because nice. I just loved the musical story that they were telling.
Did it make you draw awesome things?
It does, actually. I get into such a drawing mode with these. It's like a good album will get me into an actual drawing mode where I draw for myself. Huh, go there figure. Go.
See, and we've come full circle.
It's based off a thing.
Nice.
And for me, Evanescence is a huge influence on when I need to be in the right mood to write.
I love
Evanescence.
I hope
you're fucking kidding me.
I love Evanescence.
Depends on what I'm writing. I do love some Evanescence.
There you go. No, I'm just fucking with you.
She's a rather fetching young lady.
The Amy Lee. Is she the only one left in that band? Like,
I hope so. If anybody's left, it better be her, not some gross dude.
We're gonna go see Evanescence. Where's the singer?
Yeah. Who's that guy? Is it like Howie Mandel? What the hell is he doing up there?
It would be like if Garbage reunited without Shirley Manson. They're just like all those ugly dudes.
It's like
going to see Shirley Manson in the white dress with the black underwear. Come on now.
It's like, who's that up there? Is that the guy from Nickelback? Don't spit water in.
Not while I'm drinking booze, please.
Sorry, man.
It's alcohol abuse.
It was great.
You broke him.
I broke him. It was like everybody had the same reaction. Like I saw a picture today, and it was a picture of Avril Lavigne and Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, and all the comments just said like, "That's a goddamn shame." like 250 comments, like screw Nickelback. Nothing bad about Avril Lavigne. It was just like, "That's a damn shame."
Oh, that's funny.
All right, folks. So let's get links. Nelson W. Piles, where can we find your wonderful things?
I don't think my wife wants me to tell.
Oh, come on now. We're not talking about those.
Let's see. You can find me online. I'm currently reworking the website. It's nelsonwpiles.com. You can still sift through it. Just doing some new stuff to it on Twitter at Nelson W.
Piles. Twitter!
Because I like Bill Burr. You can find my work on Amazon.com. Just put in the name
are
Nelson.
You a published author?
What?
No.
That's awesome. One of these days, if I could be a published author, I would be so happy.
You really wouldn't. unless, you know, people bought your stuff in droves.
Yeah.
Which I invite you all to do.
Yes.
Just go to Amazon.com and, put in Nelson W. Piles. You'll see my latest works, and latest work is Everything Here is a Nightmare, a collection of my short work. There is a new anthology called 44 Lies by 22 Liars. I am in that along with Jessica. 44 Lies by 22 Authors.
Ah, okay. You said 44 Lies by 22 Liars, which is the same thing.
Which may actually be, wait, hold on. You know what? No, let me get this correct. Because I don't want to get like email that I done.
Some. I just want people to be able to find it. That's all.
Well, right. Exactly.
I'll put a link in the show notes, but nobody ever fucking looks at those.
Okay. 44 Lies by 22 Liars, a flourish of flash from the fabulous Fibbers at Postmortem Press. And it's got me, Jessica McHugh, C. Brian Brown.
Who?
C. Brian Brown.
Who?
And,
I know that guy.
You can get that on Amazon.
Jessica McHugh?
You know, it'd be great if I could get these fucking plugs out. I've been foiled. It's better than being Daved, though.
Everything is a nightmare.
No, I gotta give some love. Like, do you know what the Fairhead is, Dan? I got this great fucking. I got this awesome project, hair. But we can't talk about it right now.
Yeah, okay.
We've talked about this on so many podcasts; it's almost legendary. Hey, Fiend. But that's about it for me. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Nelson.Piles. Jeanette, take it.
All right. You can find me on horrormade.com, which is, you know, we're making horror. And then everything else kind of goes from there. You can actually Google me. I've Googled myself recently.
Yeah.
Andromeda. I am the first 8 pages of Google research results.
That is an accomplishment and a half.
You know what? I Google myself all the time.
As far as like blogging goes. So yeah, you could legitimately just Google me.
Yeah, you know what? Screw you, Dan. Just Google us.
Yeah. Just Google us.
Here's your plugs.
Hey man, this is to help you. I don't give a shit.
I'm also on Twitter at horrormade. @horror_made. Sorry.
And that's MADE, not MAID. That's something it's entirely true. Different.
And it's also HORROR.
Yep. Thank you.
Come on now.
I just, oh man.
Just roll.
The W.
W H E R E. Can people find you on Twitter?
WHORE_MAID. That's right, folks. Horror.
It sounds like a really bad game show. Whore or maid. She's got a feather duster, but I can't.
It's a Japanese horror show. It's a Japanese game
that
show.
That would be a Japanese television show.
Of course it would.
Of course it would. And I've just lost Japan. Thanks for saying. I know you were my third largest audience, but thanks, Japan. Take care. You know why I think of their third largest audience? Sometime Google Ninth Story. There's like apparently a band in Japan called Ninth Story, and it's all these hot Japanese girls.
Nice. Well, there you go.
Which is fine. Right. I'll take that if it gets them to my webpage. And of course, this webpage is ninthstory.com. Please find victoriaslift.com. Jeanette, you're writing a story for that. Jeanette does a ton of art for it. Nelson does a ton of art for it. There's so many artists. Our new art director is Steve Matico. Our new music director is Nico Vitaze, who I always pronounce his name incorrectly and probably just did there. But he is mega talented. He is featured in the very last episode of The Wicked Library, Dear Cousin Gavin, which was phenomenal and creepy as hell. And it had some sound effects, too.
And you should say the current episode of The Wicked Library. You're four episodes away from the finale, right?
Yeah, I'm close. I mean, by the time this airs, we may have Sweet Sticky Sarah out, which is, I just love the title, if nothing else.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And the story is fantastic, too. And our good friend Alex Murd is doing the cover for that. And nice. She always does super, super sexy stuff. I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. I've seen some sketches.
I heart me some Alex Murd artwork.
Oh,
she's awesome.
She's fantastic.
Seriously, she's amazing.
She did she did your cover for episode one of The Lift, which was just creepy as hell, too.
Yeah.
So she's always fantastic. I guess that's all we have to talk about today. Thanks for joining us for Night Story, episode number 401.
Hey, thanks for having me. Later on. Robble. Okay, the booze is kicking in. We have to get Dan out of this room right now.
I have had a little more alcohol in my Coke than I normally do.
Yes.
And
this is why there's an entire episode of the Ninth Story that will never air.
Yeah, the lost episodes.
the lost episodes
of season 3.
Jeanette, one day we'll hand that episode out to friends, but I don't think it should ever air.
Probably not. It was the one you hosted.
It was the one that I hosted and you got
totally ruined it.
you got more fucked up than Peter O'Toole on his birthday. It's like, we were all like looking at horror, like, this show's never going to end.
It just kept going and down. So, Jeanette, when are you coming to Pittsburgh?
I need to come. Like, this is summer would be my, I want to.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Cool.
Be road trip.
Come hang out with me awesome. And Nelson and Towers and
yes,
other please. People.
Folks.
And other people.
That's right.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Suddenly there's a whole posse of awesome and out in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
That I now.
That's right.
Now knows I exist.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I'm going to try to get myself up to New York at some point this year. So,
dude, if you're in New York, that's not that far from me.
Exactly. So, you know, bring the immortal one with you and we'll just hang out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Fantastic. Well, I'll let you know when it happens. It'll probably be in April, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not been to New York since I was like, I don't know, 6 or 7. So it's about time.
It may have changed a little bit.
It's just a little. Yeah.
Maybe.
I want to go get some bagels.
They're not using horse and buggies as their main transportation.
Back when I was young, back in the old days there, friend, we used to use horse and buggies it's in like, New York City.
An Irish cop walking down the street, like twirling and saying, oh, little Danny Fighting. Oh, I'm going to see you. You've been a wee lad.
I remember you when you were out there running things for the Kennedys. That's right. Okay, Victoria, say something or other because we're done.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row.
Ah, the French champagne.
Societies rise and societies fall. When the time comes, one society steps forward to build a better future. The Wicked Library, Kettle Whistle Radio, Night Story Podcast, Prog Watch, Red Horse Radio, The Lift, History Goes Bump. Listen, the M Writing Podcast, Society 13, Rebuilding Society, one podcast at a time.